Welcome everyone here on this Christmas Eve. It's good to see everybody. I'm glad to see that Texans don't melt in the rain. My friends up north, they do make fun of us, that is for sure, because of the weather. But it's good to see you. Today I complete the series that we have been in since the 1st of December, The Christmas Matrix Reloaded. This will be part four, and this will be the conclusion. We began with Pastor Colling sharing with us that from the time of the Old Testament ending until we moved back into the New Testament, that God had been silent. After 400 years of silence, God reloads His voice back into history. When the angel Gabriel speaks to Zechariah about his wife's pregnancy, this will be the first of five different times that God's voice will be reloaded into history within the Christmas story. The second time, the angel speaks to the Virgin Mary. The third and fourth time, God speaks to Joseph. Today, we will look at the fifth time that we're examining that God reloads His voice back into history outside of Bethlehem. But we will also look at Earth's perspective on the birth of Jesus. And then we will also, within that, look at Heaven's perspective of the birth of Jesus, because they are totally different. And we will look at all of that this morning in the time that we have. But I'm going to begin with, it is the Christmas season. There is a statement that is made in one of the Christmas programs that's been on television since I was a kid, that I didn't pay a lot of attention to until my grandkids came along, and then I started paying attention to the question that was being asked. And I began to think about the time in which this program was first put together and when it was designed and put on TV. And I realized that the writer of this program, this story, was seeing something in our country even back then that I am continuing to see in our country today. And it comes from A Charlie Brown Christmas. The question is asked within the program, isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about? When you think back when that program was produced, the question was being asked, does anyone know what Christmas is really about? There had been a shift in what Christmas was about. And so it begs the question to us as the church, are we sharing what Christmas is all about in the Christmas season? Are we too caught up in the noise of Christmas and the busyness of Christmas to explain why we're celebrating Christmas? If anyone should know how to explain what Christmas is all about, it would be the church. And we need to be explaining why we are celebrating this season. Because there are people asking, why are we celebrating this? There's got to be more to it than gifts and the stress of this season. And we need to be sharing what that is. Billy Graham said, Christmas should be a day when our minds go back to Bethlehem. Beyond the noise of our materialistic world, to hear the soft flutter of angel wings. Today, we are going to take a close look at why we celebrate Christmas. And we, the church, needs to be sharing, not just during this season. The truth is, the Christmas season and Easter season should always be on our tongues. Always speaking the truths of why we celebrate Christmas and why we celebrate Easter. Something that we should always do. Let's begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. Now, I know that if all the angels showed up in here right now, we'd all stand up and applaud and be in awe and go, oh, look at that angel, and look at that angel, and look at that angel. I don't think so. I think we'd all be on our face going, oh, my gosh, what did I do wrong? Yeah. This place filled up all of a sudden. You got to understand why they were at the why they reacted the way they did, because the angels had just come from the glory of God. They came with a message from God. And His holy presence came on the scene. I know that we would probably be around the campfire, bent down, and the angels would show up, and one of you throw something in the fire and go, hey, did anybody notice those angels? Kind of cool, isn't it? I don't think so. I think we got to get back to the fear of God, the reverence and the holiness of who He is, and begin to reverence God on our face. We got to get back to that moment of the shepherds where we are as in awe as they were, and we stay in awe of the Creator God. I have my own quote I want to give today, and I call them pin truths. With all the noise of Christmas, we must maintain contact with the true purpose of celebrating Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we come to you right now in the powerful, strong name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit begin to open our hearts, begin to shut down the noise, and that we have an ear to hear what you want to say to us on this Christmas Eve in the time that we have. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 9:6 says that for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now, Earth's perspective was simply a child is born. It is a story of a miraculous birth, a virgin, never documented before, never seen before, never heard of before. A virgin becomes pregnant, and she's not married. It's a miraculous birth. Earth is seeing this miraculous birth. And then heaven's perspective, the one that gets forgotten, is a son is given. We must refocus on heaven's perspective. Yes, it's miraculous. The virgin birth is miraculous. But we must not forget that a son was given. It is the story of the Son of God departing from heaven and coming here. Man, I think I would have argued with God. He said, no, you're going to go, nah, are you kidding me? Down there with those folks? I'm in heaven. Most awesome place ever. No death, no crying, nothing but joy, peace, and worship. Somebody get into some of that? And the Son of God is given to us. It's a departure from heaven. We must not forget that. John chapter 6, verse 38 says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. It goes back to my message with Mary. Mary said, I am a servant. Do whatever. Basically, I'm going to just paraphrase. Do whatever God's will is, I'm going to submit to it. Jesus is saying, I did not come to do my will, I came to do the Father's. I'm going to totally submit and surrender to Him. We have got to live that life before a world that is in need of seeing a church that can walk in the humility of obeying God. That we put aside our wants and desires if God has other things He wants us to do. We need to live out in front of the world a life like Mary, where I am the servant and I'm here, Father, to do your will, not mine. Heaven's second perspective on the Son would walk among us. He would breathe our air. He would live our life. I like to say it this way. He saw what we see. He felt it. Come on. He felt it just like we do. He sees things. He saw things that no person should see. You've seen things no one should see. Jesus saw it. He felt it. He heard the things we hear that hurt. Jesus breathed our air and lived in our world and faced what we face. He was tempted just like us, but he chose to do the Father's will, which was he would sin not because he loved the Father and he loved what the Father loved, and the Father loved us, and Jesus loved us, and he was going to make sure that he was the perfect sacrifice lamb. We must not forget that he walked this earth as we walk this earth and faced what we face and stayed pure because of his love for you, for me. Never forget how much Jesus loves you. And didn't compromise because of the love he has for you. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to read from the Amplified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the town of David a Savior, who is Christ the Messiah, the Lord." Now, Earth's perspective here is that Jesus came as a baby to become a certain kind of man. A man that they could put all their hopes and their dreams into, and he would help it come to pass. And that leads to Earth's second perspective. Jesus came to be king. That's a certain kind of man they wanted him to be. But Earth's perspective was he was coming as a king to set them free from the Roman rule. He was coming as king with a sword. And he would gather an army, both human and heavenly, and he would wipe out the Romans, and then they could rule with a sword. That was Earth's perspective. Now, I know it's Christmas Eve. I know that I'm supposed to stay in here, but you know, sometimes we can be that way. You know, we're like, "Lord, you know, just for a moment, can you just put a sword in my hand?" But that's not how Jesus came to fight that battle, did he? Came to give his life for it, to give freedom. Heaven's perspective was that Jesus came as a baby, but he came to die on a cross as a sacrificial lamb. That was heaven's perspective on this child, his birth. We must not forget heaven's perspective. We must not forget he came to give his life, listen, for everyone. I'm going to say this more than once probably today. He still wants to see everybody come to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Everyone. So whoever you put in a box and said that, they don't know. God's looking in that box saying, "I want them too." To bring freedom, and not with a sword, not to gather an army, but to give his life. I like to say it this way. This was his whole purpose for breathing, was to give his life for us. And we must never forget that. Heaven's second perspective, Jesus came to bring. To bring what? To bring a new kind of freedom. It wasn't a freedom that was temporary. It was a freedom that was forever. Through his sacrifice on the cross. That we could have freedom forever. It's a choice that we can make. We can either be free temporarily, or we can have freedom from this day forward. And as Rochelle said earlier, and I say all the time, especially at memorial services, there are no other avenues to salvation. There's no other book other than the Bible. There's no other path except through Jesus Christ for heaven. There's only one way. Heaven's third perspective was Jesus came to become what? He came to become a Savior to a lost world. And at 25, underneath a mobile home, on December the 28th, many years ago now, 1983, I was one of those lost people. And God visited me under that mobile home. And I rejected him initially 4 times because of the state I was in. I was lost. And Jesus didn't wait for me to show up in a service or be in some evangelistic thing. He said, you know what? I think I'm going to go get that boy now. He's down. I'm going to give him a chance again. I love him so much. I'm going to go under there. He's freezing to death under there, fixing that water line. Windchill was 6 degrees. It was sleeting. I think I'm going to go down there. I'm going to one more time. I'm going to go again. His wife's been praying. His mother-in-law's beating the doors down with me about him. Let's go pay him a visit. Here's what I do know. Jesus would have never given up on me. But it's my choice, right? He loves so much. He never gives up. Don't ever say, don't let it pass your lips. Well, God's given up on them, not the Father I serve. We give up. He doesn't. He loves too much. He loves us too much. Heaven's fourth perspective was Jesus, the man, would die on a cross for our sins. He died on a cross for my sins. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Luke 5:32 says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And then John 3:17, for God did not send the Son into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, to pass sentence on the world, but that the world might find salvation and be made safe and sound through him. Underneath that mobile home, all those years ago in the month of December, 1983, on the 28th, I didn't know what to do. So I shared a couple weeks ago, you know, Rochelle, I came in, she thought somebody crawled under there and was witnessing to me with a track. You kidding me? Nobody was outside. But that's what sometimes we're just wondering, well, how in the world did you get... Listen, I didn't know what to do. I just crawled over to that cinder block, put my back up against it, set up as best I could underneath that mobile home, just put my hands out, and this is the first thing that came out of my mouth. I don't know how you're going to fix this mess. And I was talking about me. I don't know how you're going to fix this mess. But I'm just going to give my life to you right now. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me for all the stuff I've done. And I'm just going to let you fix the mess. And I said it again. I said, but I don't know how you're going to fix this mess. And I asked him to forgive me and become my Lord and Savior right there. I hadn't been taught how to do that. I just unloaded my heart. what I needed, where I was at. Right now, as Christians are praying, that's you. Let's pray. Father, I don't know how you're going to fix this mess. I'm a mess. I've messed up so much stuff. Most people don't even see it, don't even know it, but I do. I know the people that it's affected. I know how it's affected me. I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm going to accept today this is real. You're real. I'm going to accept you're here in this room under this roof where I'm sitting right now. And I'm going to ask you to just step all the way in and become my Lord and my Savior. And I'm going to submit myself to you, and I ask you to forgive me of my mess-ups, my issues that have caused others hurt and pain. And I just ask you to forgive me of those things. I just lay it down at your feet right now. I don't know what all that means, but I'm just by faith, I'm putting it there. And now I'm asking you to be my Lord and Savior. And I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Amen. You prayed that. You made that decision this morning. I'm going to ask you to come and speak to me after the service. What are you going to do to me? Nothing. I just want to meet you. I want to see you. I just want to speak to you for a few moments. If it's not me, come to Pastor Rochelle or Pastor Tiffany or Pastor Colin. Some of our other pastors are on vacation right now. Find us. Find anybody in here. Let them know the decision you made. Let us pray with you and encourage you before you leave today. Another pen truth. Jesus's love for the world's people compelled him to fulfill God's will for his life. How much do we love the world's people? I've shared my goals before my family with you numerous times. There's five of them, but number four and number five I'm going to repeat because it's important to what Jesus was doing. It's what I hope my family says about me at the end of my life. I hope it's the legacy that I am leaving to them. And four and five are very important, and that is, he loved well all kinds of people. And here comes the big one, number five. He forgave even better. We're going to have to walk in love, and we're going to have to walk in forgiveness just like Jesus, and we need to go out and be an example to the world that I'm a person that you can count on, and I'm here to help you. But I'm not a counselor. I'm not a pastor. You don't have to be. You're a Christian, and the Holy Spirit is with you. You have all that you need to do what's needed. John, 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was made manifest, displayed, where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten, our unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. Max Lucado said this, the story of Christmas is the story of God's relentless love for us. Relentless love for us. Just like under that moment. That was just, I mean, you know what? If you just knew my whole story, you'd be going, I don't know why God bothered to show up that day to try to get your attention. For those of you that attend NEC regularly, you're about to get something very different. My final statement today is one sentence. You're used to my final statement being more. My final statement today is this. Christmas matters because you matter to God. Jesus wants everyone saved. I'm going to ask the couples to come forward. In the next few moments, you're going to have your candle lit, and I'm going to ask you to stand now. Have your candle ready. And here's the word to us on this Christmas Eve. Again, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to speak to you after service, but here's the word to us on this Christmas Eve. As your candle is lit, you need to remind yourself as a Christian, you are the light of the world to a lost world. And as you look at that candle's light, as you watch it change how it looks in here, y'all go ahead and begin to light candles. As you begin to see how it changes the light in here, get a vision for lives in 2024 being changed by the light of Jesus Christ within you. Don't let this just be a ritual moment. When your candle's lit, make a firm commitment to God. I'm going to be a light to the world around me.